Okay. Morning.
I got a lot to do.
Welcome to Krisis. We are starting our new Masechta in Seder Kodshim. I don't know how many down. I forgot. I didn't count. Okay.
So. Right.
Zvachim Menachos, Chulin Becharos, Erchin Tamura. Six down. Okay, six down, four to go. Okay, four Masechtas to go in Seder Kodshim. We have, we're starting Krisus, then we have Me'ilah, followed then by Kinnim and Tamid. Okay, Me'ilah is going to be difficult. That's funny, I say that because we're starting Krisus now, so I can say that about Me'ilah. When I get to Me'ilah, so we're going to say Me'ilah is really easy. But Me'ilah is going to be difficult, but in the meantime, however, we start with Krisus. It's not difficult, but there's a lot of information, and so let's begin. Masechta Krisus starts off by discussing which Averis in the Torah Chayiv Karis. Now, Karis I'll discuss in just a moment in terms of a little more detail of what it actually is. But Karis is a very harsh punishment. It's Misa Bidei Shamayim. It's a form of death by the hands of heaven. Although there's going to be subtle differences between actually the expression Misa Bidei Shamayim and Karis. And I'll talk about a little bit about that later on this morning. But in the meantime, however, just to basically get our heads around the basic topic. 36 times in the Torah mentions that if you don't do this, so you're going to get karis. To be more accurate, it's not really 36, thank you, it's 34. 34 times in the Torah says if you don't do this, you're going to get karis. And then for two mitzvah saseh, for two positive commandments, same story, that if you fail to do this, so you will get karis. So 34 lavin and two aseis, in which the Torah gives the punishment of karis. Now karis is a punishment that is strictly covered from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so there's no due process, meaning there are no witnesses, there's no edim, there's no hasra, there's no warning. It's just simply that if a person does this intentionally, bezadon, right? If he does it intentionally, so he's going to be chayiv karis. What if he does it unintentionally? So then the punishment drops. It's not karis, but it's rather he has to bring a carbon chattis. Carbon chattis is there to be an atonement for the fact that he did it inadvertently. Now, what exactly inadvertently means, I'll show you Rashi later on this morning, where Rashi says, inadvertently does not mean where he mamish didn't know about the Isser, where he thought, oh, this is fine, I could do that. That's not inadvertent. Inadvertent means that he knew the basic parameters of the mitzvah, but he forgot a particular detail. Like the best example, I don't know about the best, but a good example would be where he woke up in the morning, he totally knows about Shabbos, but he thought today was Sunday. Okay? Sometimes you get disoriented. Sometimes you forget what day of the week it is. So there, that's not intentional. That's not bezadon. That's what's called b'shogeg. And if you do b'shogeg, so you're not going to be chayiv karis, but rather you have to bring a carbon chatas. And a carbon chatas is there as mechaper. It serves as an atonement. And that's why this mesechta is found in Seder Kodshim. Because although we're going to be talking about the yisurim that lead to krisus, but nevertheless, though, if done b'shogeg, if any of these yisurim, except for the last two, except for Pesach and Mila, if any of these 34 yisurim were violated b'shogeg in a state of inadvertentness, okay, best English word we have, you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas, and hence mesechta krisus. Okay. For a moment, let's just talk about karis. Okay, karis is interesting. Karis is where the Torah essentially says this is something that is not just a negative prohibition, but a serious negative prohibition. To which point in time, if done intentionally without witnesses and without a warning, but it was done intentionally, so you're going to be chayiv karis. What does the word karis mean? It means to be cut off. Okay, so. We'll start off over here. First of all, there's two ways that the Gemara describes, or the Torah, I should say, describes this the spiritual cut off, and that's one is karis, and the other one is misa b'dei shamayim. So, what's the difference between karis versus misa b'dei shamayim? So, there are a couple subtle differences. There is a there's a Tosfos to the beginning of Yavamos that talks about this, and if you want to see, also Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva also discusses this as well. Okay, so number one. Okay, just differences between karis versus misa b'dei shamayim. Essentially, they're the same, but karis is on a level higher up. Number one, someone who's punished with karis is going to die before the age of 60, while one who is punished with misa b'dei shamayim will die after the age of 60, but before his time. Okay, that's one difference. This is based on a Gemara Moikatan and a Gemara in Yerushalmi and Bikurim. Number two, when someone's punished with kares, so it affects not only him, but it affects his children as well. Okay, children who are minors at the time. Right? If your child is an adult, obviously he's for himself, you're for yourself. Lo yumsu avos abanim. Right? The child doesn't have to deal with his father's sins, but children who are minors are going to have to also bear the brunt of kares. Misa b'dei shamayim, however, only punishes the individual, but not his children. Okay, so you can see Yavamas for that discussion as well. Okay, possibly also with kares, not only are you to be cut off, but it also affects your possessions as well. Meaning the person who is chayv kares is going to be left with no money and destitute. Okay, by misa b'dei shamayim, it only affects the person and not his possessions and not his money. Okay, possible differences between kares versus misa b'dei shamayim. But more fundamentally than that, though, just a word about kares. What does it mean to be spiritually cut off? So we're limited in knowledge, meaning it's hard for us to articulate exactly what kares means. We know it's serious. We know it's significant. Evidenced by the fact that if you look just at the various yisurim that we're going to be talking about this morning, avodah zarah, chilul shabbos, arayas, big averas in the Torah, where if a person deliberately violates any one of these averas, so he's going to be chayv kares. So we know kares is serious, but can we articulate any better what this kares actually is? So I'm going to read a little bit of the Ramban on Chumash. Okay, the Ramban on Chumash, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Tes. The Pasuk says, V'nichrasu anefashos ha'asos mikarev amam. Right, after going through the various arayos in the Torah, the illicit relations in the Torah, so the Torah says that anyone who violates any of these is going to be chayv kares. V'nichrasu hanefashos. Your nefesh is going to be cut off. And the Ramban writes, and again, I'm just excerpts. It's a long Ramban. I wish I had time to read it all, but just excerpts. The Ramban writes, Yinei b'krisus b'tor sholoshin yanim. So the Ramban says that when it comes to krisus, we can basically divide into three categories. Ha'echa shenem rabov v'nichras ha'ishahu. Right? Sometimes the Torah says the person's to be cut off. V'asheni shenem rabahem v'nichrusu ha'nifashos ha'osos. The nefesh is going to be cut off. V'nichrusu ha'nefesh ha'him ofanai. The nefesh is going to be cut off. V'ashlishi shenem rabahem hikaret tikaret ha'nefesh ha'hi avon abba. The double language of hikaret tikaret. Right? And it says, V'amar b'yom ha'kipurim v'avadati as ha'nefesh ha'hi mikar v'ama. Now, the Bayom HaKippurim, it says, Vahavadati as a nefesh ahi. The soul is going to get lost. So that really says the Ramban on Chumash, that's the trigger. That's the trigger word. At least we know that Karis is associated with loss. Aveda. Ubir Ha'inyan, and the Ramban continues to write, Ki ha'ochel chelev odam v'utzadik v'ruba zechuyos. So let's say the person, he eats fat, he eats blood, generally speaking, is a good guy, right? Sadik Viruba Zechulios. Good guy. Just his taiva, his desire got the best of him, his yetzahar got the best of him. Yirchusu yamavi yamos binurim kom shegili limezikna. So for that, says the Ramban, so that just will result in a premature death. That's all. And that's 60 years, like we discussed a moment ago. Now it's not going to affect his nefesh, and won't affect his soul. His soul is still going to be connected with olam and neshamos. In other words, generally speaking, he's a tzaddik. Just happens to be that he violated one of the averas. Okay, so and that's v'nichras ha'ish. Okay. That's kares number one. V'asher im ha'chata ha'chamor ha'u yav v'nasav merubim v'zichuyos. Onesh ha'kar sheba'aver ha'chamor magil ha'nefesh ha'chotas. But let's say, generally speaking, he's not a tzaddik. Generally speaking, he's a bad guy. And he violated one of these averos that require kares. Now, it not only touches him physically, so then it touches him spiritually as well. Magia lenefesh achotas ha'achar shetipared min haguf v'hi nichrasa mechaye olam ha'neshamos. And that's kares where your nefesh gets cut off. U'v'mechuyev ha'kares hazeh romez ha'kasov v'nichrasa nefesh ha'him ofanai. That's the stage two kares. That's the right? The category 2 car race, right? I guess we can call it like hurricanes. Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. So the category 2 car race affects the nefesh. Uksiva avarti asan nefesh ahi mikarev ama ve'elu ein lahem karis begufan. And then, once a karis touches your nefesh, so then your body's spared. Right, which, right, it's not a, you know, meaning at that point in time now, he could live to a very old age. Because once it's a serious car race, meaning once it's a nefesh car race, so then your body gets unaffected by it at all, because it goes right into your nefesh. And then he quotes a pasuk, and I'm just going to skim over and go on to number 3. V'yesh karetz chamor, shenichras gufo v'nafsho. And then there's category 3 karetz. Category 3 karetz, says the Ramban, is guf v'nefesh. That's the double language. V'hu anem rabo ki davar Hashem bizaves mitzvasav heifar, hikaretz tikaretz anefesh ha'i avonaba. So when you see the double language of hikaretz tikaretz, so then that's guf v'nefesh. V'darshu hikaretz v'olam hazeh tikaretz olam haba, okay, so that is guf v'nefesh. Okay, where do you see this? Where do you see the double hikarei tikarei? The Ramban continues. The ain kefil hikarei zaseh anem rabbetora ela binyane avodah zar megadev. So you're going to find it by idolatry and giduf. Giduf is blaspheming God. Now you're not going to find this, generally speaking, the double karis by most of the krisus. It's only vis-a-vis these two that you find the category 3, the double kareis of guf v'nefesh. And that deals with the quote-unquote really bad guys. Okay. I say all that all by way of introduction. A little bit scary, to say the least, but that's all by way of introduction. Let's go. We have a lot we need to cover today. We start with the Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Krisus goes through all 36 Shloshim Vishosh Krisus B'Torah. There are 36 Krisus in the Torah. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go through 36, again, of the 36, it's broken down to 34 and 2, 34 Lav and 2 Aseis, where 34 negative prohibitions in the Torah, where if I violate that prohibition deliberately, so the punishment is going to be kares. If there are witnesses and a warning, so then it could result in a capital crime as well, and that capital punishment. Right? Take a look at the first one. Habala im, someone who sleeps with his mother. That's a capital crime. Where if there are witnesses and a warning, so then it's punishable by death. And not just death, but skila, the highest form, the highest capital crime. So we're not really focusing on the crime and punishment, meaning we're not going to be focusing on the Mises Beis Din. We're going to be focusing on the fact that it is a chayvei krisus.
They would get both.
Right. So that's exactly the point, meaning that if you're punished by Beis Din, so you don't get karis, meaning that obviates you from the karis. But karis is where there is, in the absence of a capital punishment,
one or the other.
So they're right. It's going to be one or the other. Okay, and sometimes, right, the punishment is just simply malchus, it's just simply lashes. For example, later on in the list, we're going to talk about habala choso. Man has relations with his sister. That's not a capital crime. That is arayus, but it's only punishable by malchus. So there, the if he receives malchus, that also will expunge, that will get rid of the kares. Okay. Okay, let's go through the list. Shloshim v'shesh krisus b'Torah. There are 36 krisus in the Torah, and they are the following. Now, the first fifteen. Let's do it like this. The first 15 are all going to be various forms of arayus, illicit relations. The Mishnah here is super organized. The first six are going to be broken up independently. We're going to break them up independently because the first six are capital crimes punishable by skila. That's the first six. And then 7 through 15 are going to be an assortment of other arayus, but not punishable by skila. Some are put to death, and some are just a malchus, some are just a lav. So, the first six are Habalaim, someone who has relations with his mother, Al Ashis Av, the wife of your father, which, right, it could be your stepmother, Al Hakala, one's daughter-in-law, Habala Zachor, homosexual relations, Va'ala Behema, bestiality, the Isha Hamidiya Behema Aleha, or the woman who places an animal on her. Okay. These are all, now these are the first six. The first six are, if witnesses and a warning, Chai V'Skila, without witnesses and a warning but done deliberately, Chai V'Karis. Okay, number seven, Haba'al Isha Ubita, and has relations with a woman and his daughter. V'Isha, V'Eshes Ish, Haba'al Achoso. Sorry, V'Eshes Ish, a married woman, Haba al Achoso, man has relations with a sister, Al Achos Aviv, your father's sister, Achos Aviv, Al Achos Imo, your mother's sister, Al Achos Ishto, your wife's sister, Val Ashes Achiv, your brother's wife. Now, your brother's wife, right? You know what that is. That is possibility of a mitzvah, but that's only under certain circumstances, where the Torah says that if your brother dies without children and he leaves a wife, so then there's a mitzvah of yibum, but that is only if there is no children, and that's only if there's a surviving brother at the same time, and basically mesechta yivamos. Okay, fine, but without all those special exceptions, it generally speaking is an erva.
Quick question: if they have a child and child passed away, that's considered.
Right, that's still ptur. It's still an exemption. Right, the pasuk says uvein ein la, and the gemara over there in Yevamos Darshan's ayin la, meaning any child. Haba al eishes, I'm sorry, achos yishtov al eishes achiv al eishes. I'm sorry, al eishes achiv, your brother's wife, al eishes achi aviv, your uncle's wife. Okay, skip the parentheses. Ve'al anida. And a man who has relations with a woman while she is menstruating, even if it's his own wife, chai v'krisus. Okay, that's 1 through 15. Okay, and so 1 through 15 takes us through the arayos. And we move on now, we're up to number 16. 16 is a megadif. Megadif is, now Rashi over here gives us two opinions in terms of what megadif is. The reason why Rashi does that simply is because the Gemara Sanhedrin brings down two opinions. Normally what we say is that it's blaspheming. Right, we call it Birchas Hashem. Right, we use a nice language to describe someone who blasphemes. He blesses God. It's just the opposite. It's just simply a euphemism. It's the way we speak. V'ha'oved avodas kochavim. Rashi's second pshat. I'm sorry. Rashi's second pshat is that someone who sings to avodah zarah. Okay, second possible explanation. Again, that's based on the Gemara Sanhedrin. Oved avodas kochavim. Someone who does idolatry, meaning. Right, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah goes through exactly how to properly worship idols in order to be subject to the punishment of Kares. V'anosin mizaro lemolech. Or if you give your child over to the idol called Molech. U'bal ov, or someone who worships Baal ov. Now, you could say that those are also forms of idolatry, but those are separate psukim in the Torah, and because they're separate psukim in the Torah, therefore they warrant its own number in the Mishnah. Mechal Shabbos. Okay, number 20. Number 20 is Chilul Shabbos. Now, you understand, by the way, and Rashi makes this point, and all the Mefarshim in the Mishnah make this point, that Mechal Shabbos can then be subdivided into 39 categories, right? But that's not the purpose of this Mishnah Krisis. This Mishnah Krisis is really going for the main categories. So we'll say Chilul Shabbos, but of course, including Chilul Shabbos is 39 subcategories. Meaning that if you want to talk about how many chayve chatas you could bring on Shabbos, you could bring up to 39 various chatos, carbon chatas is on Shabbos. So it's just the main category of Shabbos. The Tamash Achol Kodesh, or number 21, you are impure and you eat carbon, V'abal HaMikdash, or Tameh, or if you go into the Beis HaMikdash while you're Tameh. Okay, two Tumah Kares prohibitions. One is eating carbon while you're Tameh, and the other one is walking to the Beis HaMikdash while you're Tameh. V'ha'ochel, now we go with all the consumption Isurim. Ochel Chalev, somebody eats the forbidden fats of an animal. V'dam, somebody who drinks the blood of an animal. V'nosar, upigol, somebody who eats leftover carbon. Somebody who eats carbon where when the Kohen did the Avodah, he thought he had a machshava of Pigol, where he said, I'm going to eat the carbon chutzes mano, outside its prescribed time. And if you shech the carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash, if you offer a carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash, v'ha'ochel chametz b'Pesach, eating chametz on Pesach, ha'ochel v'ha'osa malacha b'Yom HaKippurim, eating or doing a malacha on Yom Kippur, ha'mefateim es ha'shemen. Now the next two is replication. There's something called Shemen HaMishcha. Shemen HaMishcha is an oil used for anointing the clay HaMikdash. This oil was made together with particular spices. And so if you replicate the oil, so that is an Isser Kares, and a Mefatim is a Ketores, and also the Ketores, that's in the incense that's made for the Beis HaMikdash. Later on in our Masechta, we're going to actually give the recipe for how to make the Ketores. Okay, you should be familiar with it because we say it. Ashkenazim say it on Shabbos, Sephardim say it every day. Okay, Pita Makataris. Or is it Dav Vav, I think? We'll get to it. Hasach es Hashemen. Applying the oil, Shemen HaMishcha, is also going to be now another Isser Kares. Okay, so that takes us now through 34. So 34 various Sisurim in the Torah, where if you violate it intentionally, b'mezid, so you're going to be Chayiv Kares for any one of these occasions. And then we finally have Pesach and Mila. Pesach and Mila are two positive commandments. Failure to observe these two positive commandments results in an Isser Kares. And then the Mishnah gives a summary statement. For all these 36, if you do so intentionally, you're going to be Chayev Kares. Al Shigagaso. And if you do it b'shogeg, if you do it unintentionally, so you're going to be chayev a karban chatas. Allah hodosh lehem hashem talui. Now, let's say you were unsure whether or not you violated these isurim, so then there's a special karban called an hashem talui. We'll talk about it later on in the Masechta. Chutz min ha'matamim mikdash v'kadash v'mneshu ba'olav yarei. Now, the exception to that would be tumas mikdash v'kadashav, where if you eat carbon while tameh, or if you walk into the Beit HaMikdash while tameh, there is no Asham Talui. Meaning, if you possibly violated that Isser, there's not going to be an Asham Talui. The reason why is because if done b'shogeg, you don't bring a carbon chatzis, you bring what's called the carbon olav yared. Carbon olav yared is an adjusting carbon chatzis, where it depends on your financial portfolio. That will determine what kind of that will determine what level of carbon you're going to bring. It is a form of a carbon chatas, but it's not the formal carbon chatas. So therefore, if unsure whether or not you violate the Isser, you don't not bring an Hashem Talui. And Divrei Rebbe Meir, that's the Rebbe Meir's opinion, of Chachamim Omrim, Af Ham Megadev. And the Chachamim say the same thing is true regarding Megadev as well. Shenemar Torah Achas Yalachem, La'oseh Bishkaga, Yatzim Megadev, She'ena Oseh, Masaba Megadev. There is no action. It's just simply a verbal declaration, and so therefore, it is also excluded as well. We're not sure exact at this point in time what the Chachamim are saying when they say Af Megadev. Rashi says, stay tuned to the Gemara, because the Gemara will discuss that at a later point in time. Again, Hasra not applicable over here, because Hasra is only for Beis Din, for the courts, for the corporal punishments. This is not corporal punishment. This is all talking about God's punishment, so of course there's no Hasra. Everything over here is strictly based on intent. Hasra is a warning. So now, a couple of basic points I'd like to go over before we start with the Gemara and the Amud Beis. Okay. Number one, Rashi tries to explain all these cases in the form of shogeg. Meaning, shogeg, as we discussed, means that the person is inadvertent. Meaning, he made a mistake, right? But the mistake cannot simply be, oh, I didn't know that was Asr at all. I didn't even know there was such an Isr that existed. That we call, and Rashi uses this terminology, that's called Omer Mutar. If somebody says, oh, I thought that was permissible, I didn't think that was Asr, he legitimately didn't know, so that doesn't fall under the category of Shogeg. Shogeg means that you should have been more aware, you should have been more conscientious, you weren't. Now, you didn't intentionally violate the Isser, but still, there is culpability and there's liability. So that's what we call shogeg, and for that, the Torah says, you have to bring a carbon chatas. So just to give you a simple example, right, the shogeg da'arayis kasavashi ishto. So for example, Rashi says, any one of the arayas that we mentioned in our Mishnah. There are 15 arayas mentioned in the Mishnah. Now this won't work for every one of the arayas, but let's say for example, he thought it was your wife, right? Back in the good old days, they used to live in these small houses, and a whole bunch of people lived together in a small house, and he thought it was his wife, and it turns out that it wasn't his wife. Okay, that would be a case of shogeg. Now, you understand, by the way, that obviously he should have been more conscientious. He should have been more careful. He knows about the Issur in the Torah. He just wasn't fully aware of all the circumstances revolving around that. He wasn't aware of his surroundings. He should have been more aware of his surroundings, but he knew there was an Issur in the Torah. That would be more of a categorically put under the case of shogeg. And you look in Rashi, and you continue in Rashi, and Rashi basically takes us through all the different ways, permutations of shogeg. So for example, look at the next Rashi. Aman, by the way, I should have made this note a little bit earlier, but you'll notice everything's Rashi. Meaning the inside column and the outside column are Rashi. What happened to Tosfos? So he got dropped. I don't mean dropped, meaning dropped totally from the Masechta, but Tosfos' comments, and at least in the first paragraph, are very short and very succinct, not like Tosfos' style at all, and it's therefore relegated to the bottom of the page. Makes my job in Daf Yomi a little bit harder, because I don't, in other words, we benefit from Tosfos twofold. Number one, his insightful comments, and number two, his real estate that he takes up on the page. So now, without Tosfos' comments nor his real estate, so now we're left with just Gemara and Rashi. So I got to speak fast, and I really do not want to fall behind, because falling behind over here really will mean falling behind. Okay.
It has to be funny, but what about her? She didn't know it was her husband. I mean, she also.
Well, the Issur Arayos applies to both men and women, right?
So she also will have.
She also
thought it was her husband.
Right. Each one has to get judged independently, right? In other words, he has to be judged for what he was aware of. In other words, if let's say, he could be a shogeg, she could be amazing. I mean, in other words, it really all is intent. And once we're not talking about corporal punishment, once we're talking about kareis, so obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. Okay, could be, again, the cases could be many. Right. Rashi, if you take a look at the next Rashi, I'm on the left-hand column. Rashi goes through other ways of trying to explain what would be cases of shogeg by so many of these various cases. Nida, Rashi, I'm just reading two lines down after the Divra Maschel, three lines down, middle of the line, Venida de Sevata Arehi. Okay, so in other words, he thought that she wasn't the Nida, and it turns out that she was. Megadif, and again, the culpability, the liability is in the fact that he should be more aware. Okay, he didn't intentionally violate this in the Torah, so it's not going to be a Chai V'Krisus, but nevertheless, he should have been more aware, which brings about the obligation of the Karban Chatas. Megadif Kesavar Mevarichu, Shem Ben Shtei Osios, Ubarach Shem Dalet Osios. So, like Megadif, right, blaspheming. Like, can you possibly think of a case of shogeg? So Rashi says, yeah, and again, it gets a little tricky when you try to come up with cases of shogeg for blasphemy. So Rashi makes a suggestion where, well, let's say he blasphemed the name of Hashem. In other words, it's Megadev Shem. You have to use the name of God. He doesn't use the four-letter name of God. He uses the two-letter name of God, which is Uvar Shem Dalet Osios, De'enu Chayv Ella Al Shem Dalet Osios. So there, for technical reason, he's not going to be...
he's shogeg for chorus, but it's...
Right,
but
correct.
He was intending to do something wrong. Less severe.
Correct. Avodas Kochavim. In other words, okay, Avodah Zarah. What's a shogeg by Avodah Zarah? So Rashi gives an example. Kasavar Zavuch V'kitur HaSvatorah V'lo Yishtach Kavah. Meaning, I thought that you're not allowed to offer an animal to my little idol. Okay, but I'm just bowing down to it. That's not a big deal. He didn't think that bowing down to it was usher. Now again, it's a little bit tricky because bowing down to Avodah Zarah, that's a pasuk in Chumash. But still, he knew about the basic concept of Avodah Zarah. He didn't know about this particular detail, that shogeg. All right, you get the basic idea. I mean, we can go on in Rashi. But you get the basic idea. it gets a little tricky to figure out what would be a case of shogeg for so many of these Isurim in the Mishnah, but there has to be. There has to be a case of shogeg for every case in the Mishnah. And finally, if you could look at the last words of that Rashi, it's important words, Ava Omer Mutter Legamre De Oker Kol Haguf Lav Shogeg Hu Ela Anas Hu Upater. But to say Omer Mutter, to say something is permissible, Legamre, meaning he did not know about that Isser at all, didn't receive an education. So Kol Haguf Lav Shogegu Ela Anus Hu Upater. So that's considered Anus, and therefore he'll be exempt. Okay. You want to try to make the argument that it's better not to be educated? Right. Right. Yeah, it's obviously not why we're put on this earth. Okay. Minyan Olamali. We start with the Gemara. Okay. Everyone realize I just scratched the surface of the Mishnah, right? We could talk about every one of these Yisurim in of themselves at length. In fact, you'll notice I skipped a humongous Rashi, right, on the Amud Aleph. What is that humongous Rashi that I skipped? Rashi sits there and goes through every pasuk in Chumash to tell us where we know in the Chumash itself that this is an Isser Kares, that this is going to be a Chayve Krisos. Okay, so, and that's all, again, invaluable information, so, but just for the sake of time, I skipped it. Minyana Lamali. The Gemara asks a very simple question. Why does the Mishnah start open up with 36? Meaning, I'll go through the Mishnah, I made a count, right? I put it right alongside in the margin of my Gemara, where now I have a count of 36. So all you need to do is a little bit of work, and you'll figure out that there are 36 Isuri Kares in the Mishnah. And so, why does the Mishnah say, Shloshim Vishesh, there are 36? Now, this question is not limited to our Masechta Krisus. You will find this throughout Shas. And in fact, the Gemara later on will basically go take us a tour through Shas and point to all the other times where the Gemara did this, where the Mishnah did this, where the Mishnah gives us a number and then goes through each one of them. But what was the point of the number? So, Amrav Yochanan, Shim Asam, Kulam, Behelam, Achas, Chayv HaKol, Achas, V'Achas. So we have a statement by Rav Yochanan. It should sound familiar. It should ring familiar because we say the same thing regarding Shabbos. We'll get to that in just a moment. If you do all 36 of them, Behelam Echad, in one state of unawareness, so you're going to be chayav on each one individually. Can you imagine that person? And the kind of day he had. Okay, it doesn't have to be in one day. It could be one day. I understand. But that's... Okay, but... The point is that there's no overlap. There's no overlap in the Mishnah. Each one of them warrants its own Chayvei Krisus. And again, as I pointed out back in the Mishnah, meaning you can go to let's say one of the Mishnah called Shabbos, and that could be even further subdivided to 39. But still, the point of the Mishnah is that there's no overlap whatsoever of these 36. All 36 of them are going to be Chayvei Krisus. One other point which I didn't mention in the Mishnah, which again, let me go back. And make a point of. In our Mishnah, if you do them inadvertently, you're going to be chay of not kares but a karban chatas. Is that true for all 36 of them in the Mishnah? It sounds that way, right? The Mishnah says the al kulan.
The last two.
Right. So al elu chayav chatas. If you do the Mishogi, you're going to be chayav a karban chatas. So is that true for everyone in the Mishnah? So Phil already gave the correct answer, which is no. Not the chayav karban chatas is not for all 36, only for 34 of the 36. Not for the last two.
So how does that answer the question?
Hmm?
So how does that answer the question?
No, it's not going to affect Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan's talking about the Isuri Kares.
Right, but the Isuri Kares... If he violates all of them, oh.
Right?
36.
Right. There are 36 Isuri Kares in the Mishnah, but to drop it down to a shogeg and a karban chatas, it's only 34, right? And I'm not making this point. Rashi makes this point. Rashi says that it does not apply to Pesach and Milah. Okay, and Rashi says. Where am I? Sorry. No. Okay. Come back to me. I'll get back to you on this.
Karis and Mitzvah Bidei Shamayim.
So I said in the beginning of the daf, the basic difference is Karis affects you, and Mitzvah Bidei Shamayim affects just you, Karis affects your children. Kares, you die early, Mitzvah Bidei Shamayim, you die a little later. But still before your time. Okay, that the basics. Okay, so minyan alamali. So I'm getting starting from the top of the page. I'm Rav Yochanan. She must include balamecha chayv kol achas v'achas. V'stu adnan. And then let's do this again. A Mishnah in Shabbos, seventh parak of Shabbos, second Mishnah in the seventh parak. Avos malachas memchas achas. There are 39 malachas in Shabbos. Minyan alamali. And why is the Mishnah over there give me a count? Meaning all I'll do is I'll just follow the 39 malachas and I'll get to 39. Because again, you're going to be chayav on each one of the 39 malachas independently. There'll be a separate carbon chatas for each one. There are four mechusre kapara. So, why mention four? Minyan alamali lafu gimme the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the Amar. Hey, Havi, because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that there are five mechusrei kapara. Mechusrei kapara are those people who, until they bring their carbon that they need to bring, they're not allowed to eat karbanos in general. Who are the four people? They are. Nazir. We'll get to convert in just a moment. Zav, Yoledes Mitzara. Okay, a man who is a Zav, right, who has a discharge, a woman who has a discharge, two different types of discharges. Yoledes, a woman who gave birth, and a Mitzara, and a man or a woman who experienced a Ras. So they are the Mechusrei Kapara. Until they bring their carbon, they're not allowed to eat carbonos. So that four and only four. And why does the Mishnah mention four? Because lafukim et Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because we want to exclude ourselves from the position of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Damar hey have. He says there's a fifth. Who's the fifth? Detanya Rav Elazar ben Yaakov amar ger mechusrei kapara achi yizrok dam alav. So because he's of the opinion that a ger, a convert falls under the category of mechusrei kapara until the zrikas adam. Did you know that a ger has to bring a carbon when he converts? You didn't know that because nowadays the ger doesn't bring a carbon because we don't have a base of mikdash. Okay. Ahachi tani dala, that's why our Mishnah writes four, because our Mishnah wants to exclude itself from the position of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Su'a denan, we do this again. Dal mevin al zadon bishkaga minyan alamali. Al hazadon kishkaga. The Mishnah tells us, Mishnah in Krisos tells us that four people will bring a carbon even if they violate an Isser intentionally, deliberately. There are four exceptions to the rule. So why does the Mishnah mention four? La'afukim in the Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Rabbi Shimon Amr, Shavuos HaPikadon lo nitan zdono l'kapara. Because Rabbi Shimon says that the Shavuos HaPikadon is not one of the four, where you were asked to watch an item, you were a custodian of an item, and you swore that you don't know what happened to the item, even though you know exactly what happened to the item, and you did so intentionally, knowing that you shouldn't have done that. So the Mishnah is of the opinion that you still have to bring a carbon, and Rabbi Shimon says, you do not bring a carbon. Ahachi tani dal, that's why it says four in that Mishnah, to exclude ourselves from the position of Rabbi Shimon. Hasu didnan hei mevin carbon echad al averos harbe. Five people bring one carbon on multiple averos. Minyan alamali mishum de kabaylam is nasefa nazir imnit matumas harbe mishkachala. Now a nazir, if he has multiple tumas, we know that a nazir now is not allowed to come into contact with tumas mace. Okay. We also know that every time a nazir does so, he has to bring a carbon and start counting anew. Is it possible for a nazir to have multiple tumas? Yes. What would be an example? Kagon, the example would be de'id me b'shvi, meaning after the nazir becomes tame, so he needs the purification process. Purification process will be a 7-day purification process, as is the case with anyone who comes into contact with the dead. And on day 7, he then becomes tame again, v'chazav v'nidma b'shvi. Umani, now that's the scenario where there would be multiple tumos for the nazir. And that only would work according to Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. He damar nazirus taharim and shvi hu dechayolaha. He's of the opinion that on day 7 of his purification, He's now eligible for a new tumah, a new tumah mace. The e tumah Rebbe, he could go into nazir satahara Hashmini. Rebbe's of the opinion that he's not eligible until day 8. Lo chayla aleha. So hey chimishkachala, he did not bezayin v'chazav anit ma bezayin kulu chadatumah arichti. Because according to Rebbe, if he gets tumah on day 7, well, there's no eligibility on day 7 according to Rebbe. So that means that's just one continual tumah. And according to Rebbe, if he gets tummy on day 8, well, day 8 is the day that he could have brought a carbon. So in other words, each time he gets tummy on day 8, that's going to be a new carbon requirement. So it won't work according to Rebbe, Elish Mamina, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehudi. So the only way it would work is according to Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, where you're eligible for a new Tumas Nazir on day 7, so that you can have multiple Tumas Naziris. So my Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehudi, the Tanya, and the Gemara now just simply gives us the Brisa that provides us this information. The Kideshus Rosh Hashanah Yamahu, by Yom, in other words, the Torah says that his head is going to be sanctified on that day, meaning his Nazir status now renews on that day. What's that day? Your two choices are day 7 or day 8. But Yom Avas Karbanasav Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says day 8, meaning the day that the Nazir brings his carbon. That's the day that he's renewed. That's the day where he starts counting again. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yom Tiglach Sal, and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda says no. On the day that he shaves is day 7. That's the renewal day. So you see that according to Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, you can become Tameh again on day 7. That would be considered a new Tumah. And because it's not day 8 yet, he's not yet eligible to bring a carbon, so that's how you can have multiple tumas all represented by one carbon. Good. Hadinan heimivi carbon all of the yored. Now, minyan olamali. Another Mishnah. The Mishnah later on in Krisis will talk about five times where you're eligible to bring the carbon all of the yored. That is the adjusting carbon chatas mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayikra. Mishum dekani seifa. Nasi kayotze bahem tenihe. So because we also want to teach us that the Nasi, the king, also needs to bring the carbon olah v'yored if he violates any one of these isurim in the Torah. So we need the number 5 to tell us, not that there are 5 carbon olah v'yoreds, I'll just simply open up Chumash, I'll read Chumash and I'll learn that. And I'll go through the Mishnah. But rather that the Nasi, the king, if he violates any one of these isurim, also is going to bring the carbon olah v'yored. Lafuke midrebi al azar, which excludes us from the position of Rabbi Elazar, damar nasi mevi seir. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that the nasi brings his male goat carbon, not the carbon olah v'yored, had he violate any one of the isuri olah v'yored. So hadinan dalat avos nazikin. Now we turn to the first Mishnah in Baba Kama. The first Mishnah Baba Kama says that there are 4 categories, main categories of damages that a person would be liable for. Well, why does the Mishnah over there mention 4? It then takes us through the 4 categories to exclude us from the position of Rabbi Yoshi. Rabbi Yoshi says there are 13, right? Which the Gemara in Baba Kama later on mentions. Now, according to Rabbi Yoshi, why mention the number 13? Because Rabbi Chia says there are 24. So Rabbi Yoshi wants you to know that I don't agree with Rabbi Chia. I hold that there are only 13. Now, why does Rabbi Chia say 24? If you could just count Rabbi Chia, you'll find that there are 24. Udamar chavdal avos nazikin. Rabbi Chia minyan olamali lafuke masur umefagel. To exclude us from the from Masur, somebody who gives over another Jew to the non-Jewish authorities, or Mefagel, those are going to be excluded from the list of Avos Nezikin, even though you caused damages.
They fall under a category of something else?
They fall under
Grama, right?
They are, right, they're more like Grama. Take a look at Rashi, bottom of the right-hand column, Rashi Masur is a Malshin, somebody who basically rats out another Jew, right? Olam Malshinim Al Tihi Tikva, right? Baruch and Shmon Esrei. Mefagel Kohen Shepikol Bekarbono Shel Yisrael Lochlo Chutz Lazmano Dechay Vena Mashalim Meimetav Dahai Hezeka Dibur Ba'amahu VeHezek Sheino Nikarhu. Rashi throws out 2 svaras. Rashi says the hezek is created only by speech. Rashi says it's a non-recognizable damage. It's hezek sheino nikar, which you are technically off the hook for. You do not have to pay for. At least min haTorah, right? Midrabanan, there may be a knas. Right? See the Gemara in Gittin for that. Back to the Gemara. What our Mishnah teaches? Our Mishnah teaches taught us that if you do Balamachad, you're gonna be chayv on each one. Bishlam Avakula. Now look, I certainly understand that you're not gonna go off scot free. Right? The pasuk says. But the Gemara now makes a suggestion, an entertainment, that maybe if I violate all 36 of our Mishnah, I'll be chayav, maybe one. Zero is not an option, but maybe one. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan lekach yatzakaris be'achos lechalik." So the Gemara says, okay, but the Torah goes out of its way to say that if a man has relations with his sister, he's going to be chayav kares. And the Torah says he's going to be chayav kares. Now, that was unnecessary. Because when you get to the end of the Parsha of Arayis, you will see that the Torah summarizes and says, anyone who violates any one of these Yisurim mentioned above is going to be Chayv Kares. So why does the Torah, when a man has relations with his sister, go out of its way to say that a person is going to be Chayv Kares? Maskev lo rabi b'barabai, eim achosu de prakra, nechayv chad alav, v'kulan kevin de ba'alam echa, lo nechayv ala achas. So Rabbi b'barabai says, well, maybe your sister is different. Maybe for your sister, that would be one separate chiv kares, but for all the other isurei arayos, if you violate all of them, you'll be chayv only one. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there are rules, right? Fundamental rules in terms of how to darshan. Notably, so if you davened already, you said that already. If you haven't davened yet, good. So now I'm preparing you for one of the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatar Nechashas Bahem, which is that if something is already incorporated in the rule, and the Torah goes out of its way to almost point to it like as an exception, it's not an exception. That now becomes part and parcel of the rule and applies to all the others as well. Ketzad. So let's give an example. Right, a person who eats the meat. Now, in the context, the Torah over there is talking about the karmish shlamim, and right, and he is tamei while he's eating the meat, and the Torah says he's chayav karis. But why mention shlamim? So lama yatsu lahakish alayim, shlamim shehein kashim mizbech vechayav alayim, af kol shehein kashim mizbech chayav alayim yatsu kadoshe bedek habayis. Right, the rule would not apply to kachay bedek habayis. That if you eat kachay bedek habayis, the
why would you eat that?
Well, we're obviously talking about an edible kachay bedek habayis. So,
yeah. I mean, who's eating it? It's already sold. I mean, like somebody already.
No, it belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. It belongs to bedek habayis, and you eat it while in state of tumah. So you might have thought that just like if I eat carbon in the state of tumah, I'm chayv karis. So if I eat, it's not carbon, but it's property of the Beis Hamikdash, while in the state of Tumah, it also be Chayv Kares as well. Kamash Malan, no? So, Amalei Rabibi Bar Minei. So, Rabibi says, look, I agree. There are basic rules. And I agree, there's a rule of Kol Davar Shaya B'Chlal V'Yatzam Naklal. But Bar Mina, Lami Amart Hasam Yatzu Kasha B'Dek Abayis, Hachanami Ma'acho Som Yuchera Shihi Ar'erva V'Ein Laheter B'Chaya Osra, of course, ain't la heter bechaye osra. Yatza eishes ish sheish la heter bechaye bala. So he says, look, but I can, in this case in Arayos, we could fragment. Because in the case of achos ishto, I'm sorry, in the case of achoso, she never will be permitted to you. But let's say the case of eishes ish, she can become permitted to you. A divorce or a death would result in her becoming permitted to you. Or let's just talk about divorce, because there she can be permitted even while her husband's still alive. So I'm Rav Yonah, Vitem Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, I'm a Kroki, Kol Asher, Yehasem, Kol Toyevos. Hukshu Kol Arayis, Kol Anlachoso, Ma'achoso, Chayavan Allah, Bifnei Atzma, Av Kol, Chayavan Allah, Bifnei Atzma. So the Gemara's response is, Hekesh. Hekesh is telling us that, okay, you're right, the Kol Dover rule is not going to work out because They are fragmented halachas. But the Hekesh is going to tell us. Whatever's true for one is going to be true for the others as well. A man who sleeps with his sister is chayev kares. That's true for every one of the arayos mentioned in the Torah, that if a man sleeps with one of them, he's going to be chayev kares. Okay. We'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Okay, I speak fast and I'm going quickly. I realize that there's just a lot of Gemara to cover and I do not want to fall behind. So, okay, we introduced ourselves this morning to the 36 Yisuri Karis in the Torah. 34 of them are alive. Two of them are an Aseh. If a person intentionally violates them, bemazed, without warning, he's going to get received Karis. If he violates them intentionally with a warning, so then some of them are capital crimes, some of them are non-capital crimes. Okay, I didn't go through that. Okay, you have to. That's homework for tonight. If you violate any one of these yisurim b'shogeg, you're going to be chayev a karban chatas, which is why it's over here in the Masechta in Seder Kachim. What about the last two? So as I mentioned earlier, there's no karban chatas for failure to bring your karban Pesach or for not getting a bris milah. We spoke this morning in general terms about the Isser of Kares, the Ramban's category 1, category 2, category 3 of Isseri Kares, and that is it's a good day. We'll continue tomorrow, Daf Gimel of Krisis. Okay, again, Refuah Shleima, continued Refuah Shleima for Rafal Zaka Abraham, Ben Yakira Avigal, Rabbi Hanani Ben